And you're very welcome along to another edition of Across the Line with me, Shane Baruffy, your Friday evening build-up to the sporting weekend in the Premier County. And on this week's show, we'll look ahead to a busy weekend of Gaelic Games action, beginning with the Tipperary Senior Ladies Footballers All-Ireland Championship clash with Cavan tomorrow, and we'll be chatting momentarily, with manager Peter Creedon. The GAA Club Championships in Tipperary really got underway in earnest this weekend, and we'll be looking at the North with Noel Dundon and the Mid with Noel Dundon at the North with Liam Hogan. We'll be chatting about a special convention of the Tipperary County Board on Monday, and as ever, we'll wrap up by talking dogs with Barry Drake. So all that and more over the next 55 minutes or so stay tuned. And we begin with ladies football, where tomorrow at 2 o'clock at Kingspan Breffni, Tipperary take on Cavan in round 3 of the TG Cahir All-Ireland Senior Ladies Football Championship. Both sides lost their two games so far in the group and cannot qualify for the quarterfinals, but this is a game that is hugely important, as the winners will secure their senior status for 2023, while the loser will go into the relegation playoffs, with two teams being demoted to intermediate level. And to look ahead to the game, I'm joined on the line by Tipperary manager Peter Creedon. Peter, you're welcome to the show.
Hi, Shane. How are you?
Good to have you along, Peter. I suppose, Peter, you haven't shied away from the fact that this is the game you've been targeting all along. Look, I suppose the task against Mayo and against Dublin were going to be difficult, but I suppose it was all building towards this.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, we got a terrific performance last week against Dublin in Tipperary, and I suppose there was moments there in the second half where there was only 3 points in it, maybe after 50-odd minutes, and if we could have pulled a goal or something like that, it would have been interesting. But look, eventually Dublin brought on three all-stars to see out the game for themselves. But look, we're looking for a big performance tomorrow against Cavan, and we have an early start, 8:15. I think we're leading the jockey in the morning, so looking forward to the day.
Yeah, I suppose unfortunately you have to do it without your captain Maria Curley. She hasn't been named in the starting 15. She went off injured last week.
Yeah, look, Maria has been fantastic all year, a brilliant leader of the girls, and unfortunately she's fractured her big toe, and that rules her out for the next 4 or 5 weeks, and a significant loss to us. If, you know, not alone is she an outstanding player, but she's a great leader on the field of play as well. So that's going to be a loss. But look, we have to overcome it. We've overcome other losses throughout the year, so. We have a good side selected tomorrow, and we're confident they'll put up a good performance.
Yeah, in terms of the two games played so far, I suppose what gives you the most encouragement that you can get the result? I think on score difference, does a draw, I think, is good enough for you tomorrow, is it?
I think if we draw tomorrow, I think it goes to whoever scores the most points in our match with Cavan. So, but look, we can draw a lot of the positives. First, obviously, we're not scoring enough, but we're at least our opportunities that we're creating is pretty much close enough to what Cavan and Mayo and Dublin have created against us. But defensively, we've been quite solid. It's just a matter of transitioning maybe better and kicking a few more scores. That's the main aim, really. That's just been holding us back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as you say, like I say, 111 against a side like Dublin is, I suppose, most of the championship challengers would be happy with that. But as you say, like, the transition play is generally very, very good. It's just the end product is not coming off just quite yet.
No. Look, we're creating those chances, but we're either hitting the post or kicking them wide, or we're having we're having too many high turnovers high up the field. But that's not for the want of effort now. Like, the players' effort has been outstanding, and their commitment to working hard for each other has been outstanding. And I have to say, even though we were beaten last Saturday, it was one of the most enjoyable games to be involved as a manager, because you had a team given 100%, and the girls who came on actually made a difference as well. So, you know, there was a great sense of satisfaction that we played well without getting a win. But, you know, hopefully we can bring confidence for that and bring that towards Cavan, who are a decent team in their own right, and you know, face the challenge with a positive mindset, which is what we're doing.
Has it been, I suppose, a different mindset this week? I suppose you said that the focus all along has been on this one, so like the pressure really probably and a bit more anxiety. I don't want to say anxiety, but there was a bit more of an edge maybe this week in compared to the last two.
Yeah, well, look, we've had two training sessions, and we haven't spoken about winning or losing, but what we're doing is we're setting a target of 12 scores, and we're working towards getting that, and whether that's 2-10 or our 12 points, that's what our goal is, and we have a few goals around turnovers and things like that. So we're still sticking to the same process, just get the stats up in those particular performance areas, and see what happens after that.
What do you make of the Cavan challenge? They were well beaten by Dublin, but they ran Mayo to a point last Saturday.
Yeah, they had a fantastic finish to their game against Mayo. I think they kicked 2-2 or 2-3 coming down the stretch. They have a couple of very good forwards. They're strong in midfield as well. But look, from being involved in ladies football this year, even playing challenge matches against teams who are the junior and the intermediate, every single team are preparing really, really well and really strong. And they have a couple of dangerous scoring forwards that we'll have to keep an eye out on, and that's probably our main focus from a defensive point of view.
And I suppose it's amazing. It's not do or die tomorrow. Like, it's amazing that the turnover of player on the tip panel from 2018, when I suppose the two sides were in a relegation playoff up in, I think it was Virginia when it was played back then. Has that part of your, I suppose, a motivational talks this week?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I think that game went against Tip on the day, and I think that was a very experienced Tip team as well in terms of the players that were playing on the field of play. So that just tells you how tough it is to maintain your senior status, because if you lose a game or two in this championship, you're back in relegation trouble, and that's where we are. But looks to be fantastic if we can get a win tomorrow above in Breffni Park, and if not, we just have to knuckle down for a further 2 weeks.
I'm just looking at the team here. I'd say maybe Barry Lauren Fitzpatrick and Angela McGuigan. It's a very, very young side you're putting out tomorrow.
Yeah, is there 3 or 4 17-year-olds starting again tomorrow, and a few more on the bench coming in. But they're good footballers. And I've said this before, if we could pull back a few of the girls that have been injured and are away in the J1s and stuff like that, with the girls that are coming, we'll be very competitive. But look, the main focus now is tomorrow, and make sure everything goes well in the day and we get a performance, because sometimes with young teams you can get inconsistencies. But to be fair, this group, they've been really good the last 2 weeks. But as we know from other competitions, playing 3 weeks in a row, tough games can be a challenge for any group.
Yeah, and I suppose from the manner of performance last week against Dublin, they weren't overawed by taking on that Dublin team, which must have been hugely encouraging.
Oh, absolutely. They got stuck in, and when you have a group of players that comes naturally, so that they're a pleasure to work with, because you have a fair confidence that they're going to bring a level of performance where they're going to work really, really hard, and from that then you just need to have a bit of quality and the talent to kick the scores at the top end to push on what they deserve to get, really.
Yeah, I just noticed that the panel you've named, you have one interesting addition to the subs bench, and that's Roisin Howard, who hasn't been part of the squad this year, but she's joined up in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, well, I suppose I'm lucky to know Roisin from the school. She went to Clóiste and Eastgeek with us, and has played football with Tip every year, would have played this year as well, and the fact that she was doing a Masters in teaching, and she's unavailable to the hurlers because she's on a suspension, but she's with us tomorrow, and if we need to use her, we will.
Yeah, and I suppose she has a scoring prowess and experience, and I suppose if the game is tight down the stretch, her experience and know-how would be a huge asset.
Absolutely, yeah. Roisin is very experienced at this stage in inter-county football, and we'll take everything we can have on the day to get the best performance for Tip football.
I know, and hopefully, and I suppose I did say earlier, it's not do or die. I think the loser still has a second chance to survive, but you'd like to get the job done tomorrow.
It'd be nice to win a championship game in the group section without having to go to another 2 weeks, and to be brilliant. But look, if we don't get over the line tomorrow, we just have to knuckle down for another 2 weeks. And I think, as I know, the Westmeath are probably the likely people we'll meet in a couple of weeks' time if we don't get over the line tomorrow.
Okay, and we wish you the best tomorrow at 2:00 at Kingspan Breffni. Tipperary manager Peter Creedon, thanks for joining us on Across the Line.
Thanks, Jane. Thank you. Take care.
Tipperary manager Peter Creedon there, speaking ahead of the crucial game at the bottom end of the group in the All-Ireland Senior Ladies Football Championship, Cavan against Tipperary, tomorrow at 2:00 at Kingspan Breffni. And we'll have updates here on Tip FM. And the game is also being live streamed via the Ladies Football LGFA website. And I'll just quickly go through the Tipperary team. There is 2 changes from the team that lost to Dublin last Sunday. Sarah Ryan replacing the injured captain Maria Curley, and Lorraine O'Shea comes into the starting lineup in attack in place of Casey Hennessy. So I'll give you excuse me. Tipperary side is Lauren Fitzpatrick in goals, Elaine Kelly, Lucy Spillane and Emma Cronin in the full back line, Nora Martin, Niamh Martin and Cliona O'Dwyer, who's the standing captain, in the half back line. Midfield, Marie Creedon and Ava O'Shea. half forward line, Claire English, Angela McGuigan and Sarah Ryan, and the full forward line of Emma Morrissey, Lorraine O'Shea and Maureen Murphy. Time for our first break, and we'll be back in part two looking ahead to the start of the Mid-Senior Hurling Championship. And welcome back to the show. And now we turn our attention to GAA, where this weekend sees the start of the major club hurling championships in Tipperary, the senior, the intermediate and the new premier intermediate divisional championships. This week we'll focus on the mid and the north hurling championships, with the mid starting there. The mid having their three senior quarter finals all tomorrow evening. Where at 5 o'clock it's Upper Church Drumban against Turles Arsenals and Temple Moor at 5. Then at 7 o'clock in Temple Tuohy it's Drum and Inch against Lochmore Castellini. And at the same time in Boherlahan it's Holy Cross Ballycahill against Mike Carkey Boris. And to look ahead to the games and I suppose the championship as a whole, I'm joined on the line by editor of the Tipperary Star, Noel Dundon. Noel, you're welcome to the show.
Good evening, Shane. How are things?
Good, have you along, Noel. I suppose, Noel, it's a weekend. We were hoping, if all things were going well, we'd be planning our trip to Croke Park for an All-Ireland semi-final for Tip, but that hasn't come to pass. But look, in the years Tip don't go well, it offers the opportunity for clubs to claim the limelight. And in this, I suppose, first official split season, we're getting a chance to do that.
We are, Shane, and there's a fair old appetite out there for the club championships now at this stage. You know, Tip have been out now for a couple of weeks, and I suppose there would have been, you know, a lot of commentary about the nature of their exodus from the championship. But definitely, once the players went back to the club, it kind of gave a little bit of enthusiasm again. And I would say, even, you know, the fact that the county league finals are all played together there about two or three weekends ago at this stage, that also added a little bit to it. And you know, there, as I said, there is an appetite now for the divisional championships. And, you know, the divisional championships are getting an opportunity that maybe they mightn't have gotten in other times, particularly if we were heading off to Croke Park this weekend. You know, we have that little bit extra time and it'll give those divisional championships their time in the sun.
That's it. Was I think if Tip had gotten to an All-Ireland, I think these divisional games would have had to be played midweek, such as the tight nature of the so look, I suppose, if Tip go bad one year, it does help the clubs. And I suppose we start with those games, and I suppose we'll go in order. I say Upper Church Drumban, I'd say Upper Church against Turles Arsenals. I say Upper Church every year when there's a draw, and they'll be all, which competition are we getting Turles in, because they always seem to draw each other, whether it's the mid or the county. The Upper Church nearly accept at this stage they're playing Turles in one or the other.
That's right, they know each other pretty well, all right, you know. But then I suppose that will go for most of the teams in the division anyway. In a division situation like that, there's only so many teams, so you're going to be meeting them at some stage anyway, you know. Upchurch have been unlucky that they've drawn difficult teams in the county championships and in the divisional championships, and this year is no different. But you know, the whole question that hangs over Sarsfields this year will be, how do they cope without Páraic Maher?
Yeah, I'd be guessing. I'd say it's not since 2006 or it's 2005 county final, maybe, when he was ineligible, that he hasn't played for Turles Sarsfields at senior level. 2006 would have been his first year.
Yeah, he has missed. I would say he has missed practically no games for the club, championship games for the club. You know, he has been an enormous servant. And look at we don't have to go into his record. It's there for everyone to see. But it's a huge hole in the heart of the defence there to fill now, you know. But look, that's the challenge for other guys to step up to the mark and claim that place. You know, like, I know Upchurch wouldn't be ones for saying, well, just because Páraic Maher isn't there, that it gives them a great chance. I think they would feel that they have a great chance anyway. They've been there or thereabouts all the time, adding a few players all the time to their setup. And I think their attitude tomorrow evening in Temple Moor is, we'll go over and we'll have a right go and see what happens.
Yeah, and I suppose if the best time is to probably play taking on a favourite, it is in the first round. Because, like, all teams going in this weekend are sort of going in maybe not actually sure where they stand, really.
Yes, and probably too, you know, all three games are very open, I would say, Shane. Like, I'd say you'd get a lot of money on an accumulator now, you know, to predict. You know, you might say, right, we'll predict our three winners. But I think there'll be a surprise somewhere along the way in these games, because They're very, very open. As you say, it's the first round game of the championship. No, it'll be probably the first game for a lot of the clubs to have their county men back as well. They may not have played in the county league if they were gone out of the county league situation, you know. So it's a big day and a big game, and of course, you know, the prize is going on to the mid semi final. You're down to four the following weekend. So, you know, the divisional championship will be over very quickly.
Yeah, and we look ahead to the second quarter final at Temple Two. He had 7, Drummond Inch against Loughmore Castellani. Now, I suppose Loughmore really, like, they were the story of last year, but you think maybe the luck has run out for them. Like, they've no John McGrath and Ed McConnelly through injury. Kieran Connolly is away for the summer in J1, and I think Noel McGrath is due to miss this game from that ludicrous suspension he's getting off the Ballygunner match. That how he hasn't got that card overturned is a mystery. So, like, they're depleted, but you just wouldn't write them off. It'd be the one county club you'd come along and say, look, next man up.
Yeah, and I guess when the draw was made, you know, Drumminter probably sent themselves, you know, God, county champions, you know. But I think now they will go to Temple Two with a lot of confidence and a lot of hope in themselves. You know, the county league has been a bonus to them as well, you know.
They were one of the clubs that I think needed a good league. They had a bit of positivity, a bit of momentum. It's like there's talent out there, but the last couple of years that it hasn't quite gelled together.
Yeah, they've drifted a little bit, you know. They've maybe drifted down the pecking order a little bit too in terms of, you know, sort of favourites for county championships or divisional championships or that, like, you know. But and as you say, they needed a good league and they got that, you know. And I think they'll go to Temple Tui tomorrow evening with a lot of hope and a lot of confidence. You know, you can never write off Loughmore. We're tired of saying that you can never write off Loughmore. But I think if they were to pull off something in this current season, be it divisional or county, it would be probably a greater achievement than last year, considering all that they would be missing and are missing. You know, big names ruled out for them at the moment, and it's a huge challenge for them. And it's going to really test them, and it's going to test their reserve of strength as well. You know, what they have coming through, what they have on their junior team, that type of thing. It's all going to feed into it. So, you know, it's a big test for Loughmore. That's probably the simplest way of putting it tomorrow evening.
Yeah, I know Drum will be down a couple of buys themselves at Maloney. I think David Collins hasn't played in the league. I don't know whether he's back in. But, like, you'd have to think if it's a huge opportunity for Drum, it'd be a big setback, I think, for... I suppose this is just with the situation Loughmore are in, that if Drum still can't beat them, it would be, I think it'd be a bit of a blow.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, looking at it very coldly, Shane, you'd probably say that were Loughmore to lose the game, it wouldn't be as big a setback to them in terms of their season than it would for if Drum were to lose the game, considering all that Loughmore will be without tomorrow. I think it would be a big setback to Drum to lose. They're probably the favourites going on, when all things are considered, they're probably the favourites for tomorrow's game. And were they to not come out on the right side of the result, I think it would be a big setback for them, you know.
Yeah, and so the third quarter final is in Bohorlán at 7 o'clock. On Saturday, Holy Cross Ballycahill against Mycarkey Burris. Those are two great traditional names, traditional rivals. Two clubs that are on the way up, and two clubs, particularly I think Mycarkey have been unlucky the last couple of years, but like they've been building nicely. And you think whoever wins this game, they're in the mid semi final, they'll get an awful lot of confidence whoever wins this game tomorrow evening.
They will, and as you mentioned, Mycarkey, you know, county under-20 championships champions last year, and that Willie Ryan from Tumivara is with them, has them really motoring well last year, and you know, they brought those guys through, quite a few of them on county teams over the last while too, so they're gaining a lot of experience. I'm thinking of the likes of the Shelleys and the Max Hacketts and these guys, you know, really good players. So they will have a lot of younger, good players coming through together. I suppose the key in that is to make sure that there's enough of the experienced hands there as well to see them through and to help them into the team. And that has been the case for them. They were probably disappointed with the way last season finished up for them. You know, they started in very well early on, and it kind of petered out a little bit for them. But I think they'll have it right this year, and there's a big prize for them to get to the mid-semi-final. As you say, two very... traditional clubs in the division, two big hitters, maybe sleeping giants, maybe you could call them in some respects. You know, Holy Cross, of course, will be without Brian O'Mara, who is away, and a huge loss to him, a huge leader in the team, in the heart of the team there. Cathal Barrett hasn't played since he limped out of that clash with Cork in the Munster Championship. So what exactly his status is, I don't know. I expect he will tug out tomorrow, but he has little enough hurling done. So, you know, kind of the expectation in Holy Cross was that when Brian O'Mara was missing, Cathal Barrett would come in and fill that void. But it's going to be a challenge for Cathal now, as I say, without having played games. But that's a big game. That's a big, big game. It's on in Borlaugh, and I expect there'll be a big crowd there. Local rivalry is huge between Holy Cross and McCarthy, you know, going back a long, long number of years. And there's one thing is for sure, Shane, when the two of them meet, they really get it up for each other, you know, so there'll be skin and hair flying in that one.
Absolutely, and I see the JK Brackens are the ideal team because they got the buy into the semi-finals. But like I look at all those seven teams and you think Thurles without Pádraig Maher, maybe Lochmore without the two McGraths, and Kieran Connolly, arguably one of the players of the championship last year. I think it must be one of the most open mid championships I can remember.
I couldn't put it better myself, Shane. It's very, very open. It's very, very open. In fact, I was talking to one of the stalwarts of Mid-Tip last week, and we were just talking about that. How open is this championship this year? You know, last year, Saoirse's won the mid championship at a canter. The race through it, beating everybody out of sight, were in really, really good shape, good form. Maybe they were in good form too early in the season. They gave Lochmore a bit of a lesson in the mid-final, but by the time the county final came around, the lessons were going the other direction, you know. So, you know, when you talk about open, people always probably say, oh, Saoirse are the favourites for it and all that type of thing, but no, I think this is very, very open. I really do. And you know, Upperchurch have been thereabouts for the last while. They could be dark horses for this one, Shane. You wouldn't know.
Yeah, absolutely. It promises to be a fascinating weekend of a senior championship action in mid-Tipperary. Noel Dundon, thanks for joining us on Across the Line.
No problem. You're welcome anytime, Shane.
And just quickly, we'll just go to a couple of the key championship games in the South and the West. In the South, we have the two intermediate hurling semi-finals this weekend. On Saturday, it's Ballingarry against Gehenna Rinkie in Monroe at 7. And on Sunday, it's the Kilsheena Kilcash against Carrick Davins in Clonmel Sportsfield at 6 o'clock. Now, in West Tipperary, it's all divisional football this weekend. On this evening at 7:30 is the intermediate football semi-final, Gaelic Kilfeacle against Cashel Kincormacs in Cashel at 7:30. Tomorrow, Saturday, with the two senior football semi-finals, Rockwell Rovers against Aherlow in Banshee at 7:30, and at the same time in Capa White, it's Arravale Rovers against Aeroge and Carty. And on Sunday, it's the second intermediate football semi-final, Galtee Rovers against Clonalty Rossmore. That's in Dundrum at 12:00. Those divisional football championships are not linked to the county championships, those intermediate games in the South, but the winner of the South Championship will get a backdoor ticket into the County Championship proper. Time for another break, and we'll be back in part three looking at the North Championships. And you're very welcome back to the show, and we stay with you, and we turn north at the start of the divisional championships in the north of the county. Six games across the weekend in three grades, and to look ahead to some of the games, I'm joined by local GAA reporter Liam Hogan. Liam, you're welcome to the show.
Evening, Shane.
Good to have you along, Liam. Liam, we'll start with the senior on Sunday. I'd say to kickstart the championship, I'd say the North Board couldn't have drawn the thing any better. Boris Lee against Tumi Vara and Killer One against Killadangan.
That's right. They're two very mouth-watering pairings indeed. That Killadangan versus Killer One game is a repeat of last year's North Final, in which Killadangan won by 5 points and probably founded a game that was. Just had that little bit on Killer One.
For Sunday, it's a Killadangan team that will be heavily changed, like between J1s and injuries. I think Willie Connors and is away. There's Billy Seymour and Dara Flannery, Decky McGrath in America. It's and injury worries over Joe Gallagher and David Sweeney. So it changed times for Killadangan potentially.
Yeah, I would say going into this game, the Killer One would be slight favourites indeed, based on what Killer Langan are missing. Isn't it ironic in a year that we have a split season, a season that's supposed to give the club full swing and time to itself, that a lot of the clubs are missing players through J1s and whatever, you know. And I see the same is happening with Bursley to be very game, like Bursley are missing Kieran Cohen and Tommy Fahey. I'm not too sure about to be varied, except that Jason Ryan it won't be playing. But again, looking at Bursley playing against Drummond Inch in that league semi-final, I would have to give them the nod in that.
We'll just come back to the Kildangan and Kilrawan game. Like Kildangan under new management, like Brian Lawler, had been guided them to a county championship, lost two North championships as well. So Dan Hackett is back in situ. So be interested to see how new management gets Kildangan back on track again.
Exactly, but it won't be for the lack of spirit from certainly from Dan, because we all know what Dan has done for Kildangan in the past, and what sort of when he was at hurler, when he was out there and with the blue and gold jersey, he was a real fantastic leader, an inspirational leader. And look at just there last year, didn't he come back and play a junior C, and he played a huge part in Kildangan winning that championship as well in the division as also.
Absolutely, they won't lack for spirit or motivation anyway. I suppose coming to Kilrawan, I think they were a team that we thought maybe punched. We didn't have too many high hopes for them last year, but like they got to an North final, could have won the game, county quarter final, probably just a poor first half against Lochmore, but they were very, very competitive. It'd be interesting to see if they can kick on this year.
Absolutely, and it's well known, probably Kilrawan's weakest link to their team is their bench, maybe. And I saw Kilrawan playing a junior football final against Shannon Rovers, and while you might be comparing apples to oranges, I thought that they looked a very fit team, Kilrawan, that evening, and they won the game handy enough in the finish, and it was their fitness that told them the difference. Look at Kilrawan, probably have some great players there. Jerome Cahill, great player, is under the age for Tipperary. Now you have Craig Morgan, who's had a great year in the Tipperary senior jersey, a cornerback. And you have their great leader in Seamus Hennessy, who never seems to fail when he dons the white and black jersey.
Mm-hmm. That game is at 4 o'clock on Sunday in Enagh, and but curtain raiser at two is the Tumi Vera v Boris Lee game. As you say, you saw Boris Lee play in the county semi final, loss to Drum. Look there, after 5 successful years with Johnny Kelly, they've new management. Former Galway manager Shane O'Neill is in there, so I think we're all interested to see whether Boris Lee can, I suppose, refine maybe that 2019 form again.
Yeah, look, I've no doubt they will. They're a quality club and they're a quality team there. And the two Kenny brothers there came into the scene there about 4 or 5 years ago, and they've really boosted that team very well. And watching Brendan Maher playing that evening against Drum, it's as if he was never he still carried that great style of his, and he scored some fantastic points that evening. And the hurling, using the brain and getting into good places and good positions, and as we know, Brendan can.
And like the likes of Eddie Ryan are a year older now, and like you think that they're with their junior team winning in North League, like they're definitely building depth up the, down in Boris Lee.
Yeah, and not alone that, like over the last 3 or 4 years, their underage teams have been doing very well also, and you have JD Devaney there, the young pair coming up there, and Kevin Maher. A club that always seems to find something just there'll be always a year where they will lack something, but they'll come bouncing back again. Since God was a boy, Bursley were always the team that could produce something, and have produced so many county players at the wear the blue and gold.
Yeah, and like they're up against the Tumi Vera side. Like, you think they've had uninterrupted preparation for this championship, they've had no county involvement. That probably, if you were to compare the two teams in terms of high profile names, you'd say Boris Lee should win this easily. But yeah, this is Tumi Vera we're talking about. They're, I tell you, when you don't hear much about Tumi Vera, that's the time to be wary of them.
Well, possibly, and they had a great game there against Clonauty in the league semi final, went to extra time, a high scoring encounter. Okay, Drum and Inch won the final fairly convincingly afterwards. But Tumi Vera, yeah. And like Bursley, never far away from the winning podium, but like 10 years exactly since the Border North final, so there should be a little bit of hunger there for the green and gold to come now. Where they have enough there to beat Bursley, I'm not so sure.
Yeah, I don't know if promises to be two very, very interesting games in Nina at 2 o'clock and 4 o'clock on Sunday. As I said, there's a. And then we move to the Saturday, where it's the first ever Premier Intermediate Championship. Three quarter finals there. I think it's a competition, and no disrespect to the seven teams in it. I wouldn't have said in normal circumstances any of them could have won an old North Championship up against the Big Six, whereas I think all these teams, and from Seacon to their camps, I think they all see that there's definitely their silverware here to be won for all seven teams in this North Premier Intermediate.
There is, but if I was to pick one now this minute, I would be looking at Ballinair. I think they have been always very near, but never seem to have fulfilled what they are capable of doing. And this is maybe a little bit more maturity now from their campaigns the last 4 or 5 years. Now you have Michael Breen now, their leader, and I'd take the first quarter final. I would see Silver Mines would have the nod over Kildangan. Kildangan with the number of players missing now, I suppose their second team is weakened a little bit. Newport, you remember there, it was 2 years ago when they were so unlucky not to get to the Seamus O'Regan final. If they play to their strengths, would have enough against Ross Gray.
Do you think so? I think Ross Gray are probably, for a lot of teams in this grade, are interesting to see how, I think they're the first time they were ever relegated from senior grade, and how they adjust to that and, I suppose, regather themselves quickly. Because they have, I suppose, from a minor team a few years ago that won a county championship, there is talent in that team.
There's talent in that team, but if you look back through the records, any team needs to win, have success at senior level. You need more than one minor title to back up that. Mm-hmm. There are a few exceptions as well along the way down through the years, but Ross Gray never seemed to be consistent enough to do it. And it would be great for the county, great for many people, pride in hurling when they talk about Ross Gray in the past, but. If Newport played to their strengths, I would give them the nod in that.
And you mentioned Ballina, they're up against, as well, just to go back to those two games you mentioned there, in Clochjordan at 5 and 7 tomorrow, and the other game in the North Premier Intermediate is Ballina against Portrue in Tumivera at 7 o'clock tomorrow evening. Like two local rivals, they've had a couple of great jousts in recent times. Ballina tend to have the upper hand, and as you say, you fancy them maybe outright to win this.
I would, yeah. I would say Portrue, maybe not the team of your needed another 21B title there last year, I suppose will shore up the team all right. But I would still go for Ballinair. If Ballinair plays to their strengths, they will win that game.
And just a reminder, Isaac, there is a weekend pass from the North Board, €20 in for all games Sunday, Saturday, and indeed tonight, that there is a championship game tonight. The Intermediate Championship kicks it off. Borussia Kane against Ballinlinch, and that's the game you're heading to in the next few minutes, Liam, in the quarter final.
I hope to, yes, Shane. Of all the teams I was looking at during the week, Ballinlinch seems to be a team that has been hit most by injuries, retirements, and J1s. And Borussia Kane win the league final there last week against my Rovers in a very exciting game. They would seem to have the edge there. They have six forwards, all of them capable of scoring. They would be hoping and depending on Philip Austin to be fully fit for this game. He went off during that game against my Rovers. Whether he would make an appearance, or I don't know. Kevin Cleary is another player who was missing in that game as well, so due to illness, but he should be back again. And I would think that Borussia Kane will win this game with a little bit of ease.
Okay, it'll be interesting to see. I'm heading out there myself once the show is over. Liam Hogan is always comprehensive as ever. Thanks for joining us on Across the Line.
Thanks, Shane, very much.
As I said, that Liam Hogan rounding up the games, previewing ahead to the games in the North Championship starting tonight through Sunday. Six games, as I said, there's some fantastic value packages if you want to go to one, two, or even all, I think five. You can get to five or six games this weekend for £20 if you wanted to. So fair dues to the North Board there. Time for one last break, and we'll be back in part four with Greyhound Racing and Morgier. And you're welcome back to the final part of the show. I'm staying with GAA. Next Monday, a special convention of Tipperary County Board will be held in Thurles, where a motion will be debated on how structures on club championship club competitions are to be voted on. And to discuss that, I'm joined by Sean O'Shea, who's the secretary of Carrick Swan GAA Club, who are promoting the motion. Sean, you're welcome to the show.
Thanks, Shane.
Sean, just to make people aware of what it is, it's essentially that a county committee meetings or a county convention where a method of voting shall be by show of hands for deciding championship formats, but a secret ballot for election of officers. Can you just explain the argument for why you're proposing it?
Okay, we will. I'll give you the background first, Shane, if I can. Right, well, we need to go back to the county committee meeting held last November. At that, there was 28 motions on the floor to discuss the championship formats and structures for 2022. Now, some of those motions at that meeting were decided by a show of hands, while others were decided by a secret ballot. Now, the County Management Committee and the fixtures analysts proposed a motion to rebrand, but in effect, it actually relegated 16 teams from Senior B to Premier Intermediate so that they could represent the county in the Munster Intermediate Club Championship. Now, this was decided using a secret ballot. As we were informed before at the meeting, that one individual had requested a secret ballot for this. So that was the way it went, and the motion passed narrowly by 2 votes, 43 to 41. Now, to me, that smacks of something called a la carte democracy at its very best, picking and choosing to suit the agenda of the day. It's very important to note here, Shane, that there is nowhere within rule that states a secret ballot must be used. So just follow on then from that, we submitted 2 motions to the county convention in December, and both were passed unanimously, which was a good indicator of the club's unhappiness at what took place at the November's meeting. So one motion sought to revoke the rule previously passed at Congress that limited the number of top-tier teams to 16. That was ruled out of order by Rules Advisory. But Rules Advisory also advised that the other motion, which is the one we are now discussing, related to the secret ballot, was an internal matter for Tipperary to decide on. So, as our motion had passed already at county convention, we applied to county management to consider the motion under Rule 3.1, citing special circumstances. Long story short, the only way that that can happen is by holding a special convention before our normal county committee meeting next Monday and having another go at it. And if it passes, it then can be written into the Tipperary County bylaws. In fairness, Shane, I want to say, to the county board, they have been accommodating in agreeing to hold this special convention.
Mm-hmm. I suppose essentially it's about transparency, really, that you want any of these votes on championship formats that, I suppose, a show of hands, really. So you essentially know that, which clubs voted where, and maybe did their delegate actually do what they were directed to by their own club?
That is very much a large part of it, right? What we are looking for is a show of hands to be used for structural changes only now, right? Mm-hmm. As you said earlier on, electoral of officers and all that kind of thing, that still can be done secret ballot, of course, mm-hmm. right? But the secret ballot method of voting on structural changes is wrong, in my opinion. It suits a certain agenda. Now, there's no visible accountability on the way clubs vote, and transparency is needed, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. Generally, when it comes, I think there was a motion of Congress a few years ago on more transparency, and it was voted down. I think if something like this happened on Monday night, where there was a push in Tipperary for more transparency and how structural votes take place, it would look good for the association.
Sorry, Shane?
I said there was a few years ago at Congress where there was a motion put forward for more transparency in how counties voted, and that was defeated, whereas it would be a good sign if Tipperary went the other way this weekend and had anything...
Led the way, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, when you analyse this, right, how can some structural motions be decided by a show of hands, while yet on the same evening other structural motions had a secret ballot?
Mm-hmm. So that to me is
stacking the odds in order to get a motion passed, plain and simple.
So you're just looking for just transparency and consistency in how things are going.
Shane, all this is about is accountability and transparency and nothing more.
Okay, so all clubs are asked to be represented on Monday evening in...
They are indeed. They're allowed to have 2 delegates each at the meeting. And that meeting, Shane, starts at 7:30. So look, if it gets over the line, it gets over the line. If it doesn't, it doesn't. I'd be very disappointed, but there you go.
Okay, I know that it'll be an interesting night at Tipperary County, a special meeting of Tipperary County Board. Sean O'Shea, thanks for joining us.
Shane, sorry, if I just could say one last thing. Yeah. Best of luck to James Woodlock, the management and the team in the minor final, and of course our own Arden O'Halloran, who we're all very proud of here in Carrick Swan.
Absolutely, no, you must be very, very proud of him. He's playing very, very well at the moment.
Great stuff, yeah.
Sean, thanks for joining us on Across the Line.
Much obliged, Shane. Thank you.
Sean O'Shea, Carrick Swan's chairperson, secretary, talking about that county board meeting on Monday, a special convention, on Monday evening. And it is now time to talk dogs.
Tip FM's Greyhound Update, in association with Greyhound Racing Ireland, because this runs deep.
And we're just having a bit of difficulty trying to line up at Barry Drake at the moment. So we'll just, unfortunately, I have no more ads to take. Barry, you can hear me there. Hi, Barry. Sorry, Barry. Thanks very much. Sorry, I wasn't seeing the call coming through. So, Barry, I suppose one of the bigger weekends on the local, on the Greyhound Racing Circuit, we have the English Greyhound Derby final tomorrow night. Absolutely, it's a busy time in Greyhound racing. I suppose the peak of the season, the English Derby, and of course the Irish Derby won't be too far behind it. Barry Drake, as always, thanks for joining us on Across the Line. That Barry Drake looking ahead to another busy weekend in the Greyhound scene. And that is about it for this week's show. It's a busy show as they're building up to a big game for the ladies footballers tomorrow. We wish them the best of luck. 2 o'clock tomorrow up in Cavan against Cavan. Win that and they are safe in senior level for another year. And of course, a busy weekend in the divisional hurling championships. And I know the weather doesn't look summery out there, but if you can get out to support your local teams over the weekend, whether it's at any level, that goes for juvenile camogie. There's a lot of under 14 county finals this weekend, and I think there's under 15 Gaelic football finals across the weekend too. So exciting times for all those young players across the county. And that's it for this week's show. I want to thank all my guests and my producer Paul Carroll. After the news, it's Premier Country with Carol Power. I'll be back next Friday at 6 for another edition of Across the Line, where we'll be building up, among other things, to the All-Ireland Minor Hurling Final between Tipperary and Offaly. Bye for now.